Hey, gang. Welcome to another exciting episode of National Google Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, rbnrepublicbroadcasting.org. It's the hijacked radio network of free speech, because I'm hijacking this show. This is okay. Supposed to be no, it's supposed to be Dr. Duke's show, but I've hijacked the show. I've got him tied
I'm here.
Up. He is tied up and in the back room.
Can you hear me?
No, we're not going to let you talk. Okay, welcome to the show.
Okay, fine. Go ahead.
Welcome to the show.
Well, I'm glad to be here. Glad you're here, too, to be a good backup when we have a little technical difficulties, that's for sure. Appreciate you very much.
Okay. Well, it's your show now. I'll give it back to you.
Well, no, go ahead. Why don't you say what's on your mind first today, and I'll do my rest of my technicals to try to get this right while you're doing that. But I know that there's it'd be great for you to comment. There's still a lot of incredible response. Can I finish for a second? I just want to set something up. There's an incredible response right now. This is what I'd like you to speak about, if you would be willing to, about the fact that Donald Trump posted, and actually it was something when Jeffrey Sachs spoke at the Cambridge University settings, and he called Netanyahu a son of a bitch, and he pointed out that Israel had been controlling American policy, has led us into war. And he even said the words, which is kind of interesting. There's another tape I have of him saying this. One person said that, you know, that we act, you know, our Israel acts as a proxy for us. And Jeffrey Sachs corrected the interviewer and said, no, you know, it's Israel that directs America. It's not America that directs Israel. And that's important things. And he also went into, with Judge Nia Beltano today, he went into the fact that, in fact, he interviewed an individual who was formerly of the State Department, and they said, we're supplying every fighter jet that's dropping these bombs, every bomb, and we're, you know, absolutely facilitating, we're defending Israel before the United Nations, we're covering up the genocide that's going on, and by international law that we are complicit, and we are, you know, we are guilty of violation of the Genocide Convention, and we are guilty of the laws of war and international law by what we're doing in regard to Israel. So I just wanted to say that and see what your reaction is to all that and any other things you'd like to add.
Okay. Well, I'm going to give a little bit of background to the Trump posting Jeffrey Sachs. So one might ask, well, how does Trump know about this interview with Jeffrey Sachs? How does he know? Jeffrey Sachs was talking to the Cambridge Student Union in London. How was he aware of this little video snippet? And I don't know for sure, but the only person that he's appointed into his cabinet who in the foreign policy realm who's at all decent is Tulsi Gabbard. Mm-hmm. And so I looked at Tulsi Gabbard's Twitter feed, and guess what she had very prominently, like, posted the day before was Jeffrey Sachs. And what did she post? It was actually a different snippet. She posted Jeffrey Sachs saying how smart Tulsi Gabbard is. So Tulsi Gabbard is Jeffrey Sachs has Tulsi Gabbard's ear. He's listening to her and he's aware of her. She is listening to him. He is aware of her. So good. So maybe if something good happens in the foreign policy realm, probably the only person in the government that would be responsible for it would be Tulsi Gabbard. Why is she there? Because remember, 8 years ago, 9 years ago.
She's not there yet, though, because she's got to still be approved by the
right.
Senate.
Okay.
And there's going to be a lot of pushback on her, I have a friend, I'm
there
afraid.
There's pushback on her from Jewish Zionists, which kind of shows that she's not really a Zionist herself, because they're suspicious of her. What was she doing 9 years ago? 9 years ago, she was the vice chair of the Democratic National Committee. She was the vice chair. And she was a Bernie Sanders supporter. Now, she resigned that position, and she was a congresswoman at the same mm-hmm. time. So she was a congresswoman, and then she was the vice chair of the Democratic National Committee. And she resigned it because she didn't think that the Democrats were being fair to Bernie Sanders. So she was a Bernie Sanders Democrat 9 years ago. What's she doing? How'd she get to the Trump administration? And she's only been a Republican now. She left the Democratic Party about 2 years ago. She became she joined the Republican Party just a few weeks before the 2024 election. So how did this happen? Her introduction to the MAGA people was through Tucker Carlson. Tucker Carlson started bringing her on the show, what, like 20, was it in 2020, 2019, 2021, I'm not sure, but he started bringing her on the show every now and then. And then even in 2021, he had her, I think for a week, she substituted for him while he was on vacation. So he's the person who really introduced her to the MAGA people. How did he know about her? Well, I think he knew about her. Who brought her to his attention? It was probably his writers. And his writers, we know his writers read the Daily Stormer, Andrew Anglin's Daily Stormer. It's a known fact. In fact, his lead writer, he wound up firing his lead writer when that fact, among some other things, came out. And he wound up firing the lead writer. But they read the Daily Stormer. And now, Andrew Anglin himself wasn't much of a Tulsi Gabbard proponent, but we were. And I used to, up until Charlottesville happened, I used to post things on the Daily Stormer because Andrew Anglin had asked me to write for him. I wrote for him a little bit. He was probably pretty disappointed because I just posted our shows. And I had posted a number of shows with you, with Eric Stryker, with Mark Dankoff, where we were back in 2016, 2017, we were promoting Tulsi Gabbard as somebody who Trump should bring into his administration. So I'm bringing this out there because I don't have proof that this is how it went, but it seems like the most likely way is we introduced Tulsi Gabbard to Tucker's writers. Tucker's writers introduced her to him, and then he introduced her to the MAGA people and effectively to Trump. Trump's brought her in, and now she's introducing Trump to Jeffrey Sachs' way of thinking. You know, maybe that's a little bit roundabout, but it's the way things happen. And so we've been promoting.
It's like a circle of influence that it continues to widen since the work we've been doing and many others like us have been doing over the years. But we've been confronting the Jewish supremacist aspect and the supremacy over our government and the fact that Israel and Jewish interests, it's not even just Israel, it's the entire diaspora with the leading billionaire Jews. It's 18 of the 20 biggest contributors to Clinton. It's the people that control Google. It's the people that control Facebook, Meta. It's the people that control ABC, NBC, CBS. It's the people that control so much of the world. It's the people who control our State Department, which can blackmail any government of the world if we don't like the way they're treating Israel or we don't like what they're doing in terms of Russia. We can blackmail them economically and literally destroy them. In fact, they have these countries so cowtailed, if that's the word for it. Like, for instance, Germany, we can blow up their pipeline, which the Germans were half of the financiers for, along with the Russians, which was certainly good for Russia, and it was certainly good for Germany getting good access to inexpensive oil and gas, which they have to have for their industry, and we blew it up. And Germany was so dependent upon America because what America could do to us, especially after they lost the pipeline, because they needed America's help to get any oil or gas then because they weren't getting so much from Russia, that they totally ignored the fact and they continued to promote this big giant Jewish lie that Russians somehow blew up their own pipeline. So these are the realities of life, aren't they? I mean, and these are the realities that we've been talking about for years, and they still can't. Even Jeffrey Sachs, I hate to say it, and these others, they can kind of lay it out almost. They can put the dots out there. They can talk about how the Iraq War was led by Victoria Nuland and all the other people that did it, all these other Jews. They can talk about how the Iraq War was led by them. They can talk about how the Ukraine War, even he wrote an article, the same people who created the Iraq War created the Ukraine War, which has cost hundreds of thousands of Ukrainian lives, along with a lot of Russian lives, unnecessarily, because these Jews had, you know, basically an ethnic hatred for the Russians, especially since they overthrew their communist Jewish overlords after the Second World War. And ever since then, they've been an ethnic war against Russia, not because they're communist, not because of what the horrible Jewish communists did to millions and millions of Russians and Christians, but because these Russians had the guts to overthrow these Jewish oligarchs that were robbing the country blind. And they were determined to, you know, to get their pay, to get their, you know, 30 pieces of silver, from, you know, the Russian people and destruction and from the American people in terms of getting there, smiting their enemies. There you go. Patrick, we got to work on our connections or something here.
I wasn't that long,
I don't think. Go ahead.
I mute. Sometimes I mute, and this happened. I'm a boomer. I get to mute. So There are a lot of people who talk about important things without getting to the real core of the issue. And, you know, I was like Tulsi Gabbard or Jeffrey Sachs, the guest list from Judge Napolitano. You got, I think, Ambassador Charles Freeman, who maybe you're going to be talking
to. I saw him this morning. He was great.
Yeah, and he was Nixon's translator in 19, what was it, 70, was it 71 or 72 when Nixon went to China? But
so he's an older guy.
Yeah. I think it was 71. He's an older guy.
That's when I went to Laos and taught Laotian army officers. That's why I remember that.
So at the time...
That's when I ran into the Russian embassy car on the way to my work to teach my Laotian students. And I said to this Russian guy, a big blonde Russian, he was a Russian diplomat, and he certainly wasn't Jewish, which is kind of different than the narrative that I got my whole life about communism. But this is after the Russians took back control. And I said, you know, one thing I tell you that we might agree on, I might disagree with Nixon's trip to China. I have a feeling it's going to end up betraying the American working people, and it's going to open up our trade, and it's going to end up hurting the American middle class. And so I can agree, you know, that it's kind of wild that we're doing this. And he responded to me in kind of a bit of English, a bit of German, didn't speak. You know, I didn't speak Russian at the time at all. I speak a little bit now, but I could read some of it. But anyway, but he said to me specifically, he said, and he really made a point of this. He said, yeah, we white men have to stick together. I was really shocked to hear that. And boy, that was a different narrative than I expected from a member of the Russian diplomatic corps.
So we got to these people like, you know, Charles Freeman, and they talk real stuff. But they, you know, there's massive omissions, and, you know, we're doing the dirty work that nobody else wants to do of filling in the omissions. But, you know, we are.
And he said that America was complicit, as I said earlier, complicit in this war, and the genocide, the killing of tens of thousands of Palestinian civilians.
Yeah. Well, and it is, and the whole world is seeing what's going on, and a lot of people still want to think, oh, the United States should be, we want to support American power, and the Chinese or the Russians, they're rivals to us, and we want our side to win. But the thing is, we got to get over this high school football mentality, and we have to look at the fact of the matter is, the world is dividing.
I have a different view now than I had in 71, that's for sure. Go ahead.
The world's dividing into two sides. It's dividing. One side is for civilization, the other side is for Zionism. Yeah. And
yes,
we're on
right.
The wrong
one side for a life for European people and all people in the world, and one side's for Jewish tyranny over all of us, and by God, the destruction of the world, really, in terms of what I believe.
And we're on the wrong side. And we're not the good guys. When I say we, I mean our... the state that supposedly represents us.
We're on the side of the people destroying our own people. I mean, as well as the rest of the world. I mean, it's really shocking, really, when you think about it from a fundamental level.
Yeah, and, you know, and Jeffrey Sachs and others point out how self-destructive the Israeli policy is. Because when you get down to it, this goal that they have of dominating the world, a lot of it is due to paranoia. They think that, you know, they're riding the tiger, and either they ride the tiger or the tiger eats them, which is paranoid and false. But it is probably the dominant view in the Jewish community, and it gets accelerated and fed into by the narrative of the Holocaust, for instance, and eternal Jewish victimhood, the pogroms and you know, anti-Semitism and all of this. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, a lot of very good people, a lot of the people on Judge Napolitano's guest list, for instance, will play into it. And, you know, they'll say that the Israelis are acting like Nazis. You know, you might hear Scott Ritter say they're acting like Nazis. And well, who are the bad guys in the Nazi narrative? The Nazis are the white Germans are the bad guys, and the Jews were the good guys. But they were the poor Jews were being genocided, and they were, you know, so much even well-intentioned people play into these narratives that increase Jewish paranoia, and so much of Jewish ruthlessness is because of paranoia, because they they have convinced themselves that they eternally have their back against the wall, and which justifies anything they do, from endless wars to blowing up pagers in little girls' hands.
Yes.
So that's my response.
Along with your parents and brothers and sisters, and I mean it's crazy. Let me ask you a hypothetical question now. And you're right. I think, like Jeffrey Sachs says, and in fact, that's probably the only way that a lot of these Jews could even get away with even talking bad enough about Israel is to say, well, yeah, they're also hurting themselves because it's going to cause the destruction of Israel, that the world's going to be sick of them. It's going to destroy the country because of this and that and the rest of it. But it's like, when you think about it, this is a hypothetical question. But if, you know, you look at what Israel's done now since 1948, they violated every 200, something like that, 200 United Nations resolutions, including resolutions we voted against. We voted for them to vacate occupied Jerusalem, which is part of by the original UN agreement that the area of Jerusalem, that was an ancient, important capital for the Palestinians, the people that lived there for generations. It was also an important capital for Jews, but it became one. But that was supposed to be shared, half and half. And that was violated. The invasion of the West Bank, we United States signed up and voted for a resolution demanding that Israel vacate the West Bank. Any other country that did that, we would be at least sanctioning them, if not going to war. We went to war against Iraq. One of the reasons why we did the first war was because Iraq got in a little war with Kuwait. And Iraq was kind of angry that Kuwait was, drilling at an angular level into under Iraq territory in these rich oil fields. And anyway, they got into a war, and then they made up these lies. It's always atrocity propaganda. These lies about the Iraqis turning off the incubators and causing death. It turned out with Mr. Santos and these other Jews in the Congress, they even prayed before Congress. The Kuwaitan ambassador's daughter, who wasn't even in Kuwait when this war between Iraq and Kuwait happened, and that they were turning off the incubators, and it was just a total, complete lie. This is their modus operandi. And then, of course, in the most recent Iraq war, even Jeffrey Sachs says it. In fact, he says the same people that gave us the Iraq war based on lies are the same people that gave us the Ukraine war. And what does the Ukraine war really cost? Again, they're Holocaust deniers because they always deny the real death tolls of the wars they cause and the pain that they afflict. I mean, if Iraq was killing 500,000 American babies, I think that would be talked about in the international press. If the Russians were killing 500,000 Ukrainian babies, I think that'd be talked about in the press. If Jeffrey Sachs was a Russian, say, by the name of Romanov, and he had close relations and partnership with former presidents like Medvedev or even Lavrov, the foreign minister, he's got that high of level with Israel and partnership with that, running this sex trafficking spy ring for Israel. If that had happened, I think the media would be saying, oh, these were Russians. This was a Russian ring. This was a Russian Sestra. But they were all Jews. Epstein was a Jew. Ghislaine was a Jew, the daughter of the most famous Jewish spy for Israel, who was also a media magnate in Great Britain. Dershowitz, his lawyer that got him out, was a Jew. Lauder was one of his big supporters. His partner in the European branch was Brunel, who was Jewish. Ari Menashe, who was a member of the Israeli directorate, said this was a blackmail spy ring. It was to blackmail people of Europe and America of high influence and money, and get them to support, the cause of Israel, with what he called the ultimate blackmail. But this was never, ever mentioned in mainstream.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com. Or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Charles de Gaulle once said, actually, it's difficult to envision in this regard any other criterion, any other standard than gold. Yes, gold, which does not change in nature, which can be made into either bars, ingots, or coins, which has no nationality, and which is considered in all places and all times the immutable and fiduciary value par excellence. So when the question is, why gold? It's simple, my friends. The answer to that question is simply, why not? Like it or not, precious metals will always be the world's reserve currency. Even though nations do not define their currency by their worth in, say, gold, individuals still buy gold and silver to protect themselves from inflation. The more money a nation's central bank pours into the economy, the less valuable its currency, the dollar is, which means the price of everything else rises. $21 up for a bag of dog food. Seeing that the dollar is cheap, that's why the cost of everything goes up. It's because of the buying power, the value of the dollar has tanked. It's worth nothing. And yet gold that your family would have owned in 1907 will buy at least the same amount of goods, if not far more. William McPhee once stated, it's extraordinary how many emotional storms one may weather in safety if one is ballasted with ever so little gold. The truth about money, gold versus cash in a crisis, gold a valuable thing to store, the power of gold in times of crisis. Historical sketch of paper currency. Oh, and beware the ides of rare coin dealers. And Alan Greenspan's speech on gold and economic freedom. How interesting. I'm going to give you gold and silver in 5 easy lessons. Seeking out the most efficient and most secure route to owning gold and converting it into widely accepted currency is the next best thing to enjoying gold-backed currency, my friends. In a world of central bankers hell-bent on devaluing our savings, you need to own private gold standard. Contact me, Jeffrey Bennett at Kettle Moraine Limited, by calling our phone number at 602-799-8214. That's 602-799-8214.
It is dead. That's what I said.
People of Europe and America have high influence and money, and get them to support, you know, the cause of Israel, with what he called the ultimate blackmail. But this was never, ever mentioned in mainstream media. The same mainstream media, when we had a critical election, obviously, in 2020 with the laptop and so forth, in the last election and before this one, and They made up this lie that it was Russian disinformation about the Hunter Biden laptop. Later, they used the information of the Biden laptop to prosecute him when they had enough public affairs about this. But and they even blockaded a major New York City newspaper, the New York Post. They literally censored that post in a critical time before the election, and then they claim about how it's Russian disinformation to try to control the election, when the disinformation was denied the absolute incontrovertible evidence that the Hunter Biden laptop was real. And it was corrupt and vile, had every kind of juicy tidbit you can do about a news coverage, sexual degeneracy, all kinds of sexual crimes being going on against underage people in terms of, you know, bribery of an American president. We had the American president saying that he forced Ukraine not to prosecute one of these, you know, Kolomoisky, not to prosecute some of the people involved with this oil company that Hunter Biden was getting a massive bribe from, that they were not going to prosecute or investigate that oil company. That was his son's source of millions of dollars. So, I mean, and yet, you know, this is what goes on, while at the same time the Jewish media talks about disinformation. And we get disinformation every day about, of course, Ukraine and what's going on right now in Gaza. Go ahead and jump in there, please.
It's amazing how the level of disinformation. You mentioned Ukraine. I remember talking about a year and a half ago, maybe 16 months ago, I think it was September 2023, talking to a friend of mine who is a who's a retired colonel. He's a contractor, works in the Pentagon. So he's when I say contractor, he's a consultant. He works inside the Pentagon. And he was telling me how the Ukrainians were winning the war. And I said, is that what everybody in the Pentagon thinks? And he just kind of looked at me like, why wouldn't you think Ukraine is winning the war? It had never occurred to him. Like the idea that Ukraine wasn't winning was just something that was totally alien to him.
It was the biggest smashing that you can imagine. And it wasn't done in a dramatic way, like a massive panzer attack to take over the whole country. But this was the war they were fighting. They were fighting in a way that they would have very few Russian casualties, but the Ukrainians will go into a meat grinder with massive artillery right. supremacy and massive air supremacy yep. and massive other aspects that they were better at it. And right. it was just a massacre of innocent kids. And now the Ukrainian government's even trying to extend the grabbing people off the street who are like 18 and young and younger. I mean, it's unbelievable right. what they're doing. And yet it's all hidden.
The Ukrainians the Russians were fighting in a way to maximize the casualties of the military. They were the enemy military. They were trying
and
to
they were succeeding
the
on a massive scale. Military.
And have been succeeding. They haven't been, it hasn't been the propaganda war. It hasn't been a war where they're trying to take as much land and color in the map as fast as possible. They can actually, they can annihilate the enemy perfectly well when the enemy keeps coming at them. And this is what's been happening. But you know, so it's not. I mentioned my friend. I mentioned the Pentagon, and then you saw within the past couple of weeks, Donald Trump's envoy to the Ukraine Russia war, this retired General Kellogg, 3-star general, somebody who was he Trump's deputy or he was Trump's acting national security advisor after Flynn got. Fired and before McMaster's was hired, and he was Mike Pence's national security advisor. So this is somebody who has been, you know, he's a general. He's been in the National Security Council, and he's supposedly has access to all the best information that the American state provides. And yet he seemed convinced that Russia's lost 600,000 troops, and he got Trump to even say that. So these people. The disinformation is so bad that people at the top seem to even be believing people at the top are believing it. And probably what does Victoria Nuland or Tony Blinken or Jake Sullivan, what are they even thinking? Are they believing this stuff? But it, you know, if you
how much Kool-Aid, you know, I'm thinking about the Jim Jones situation, but how much right. Kool-Aid do people have to drink to you realize this ain't Kool-Aid?
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, if that was the case, because what's the counter argument? The counter argument might be that we're the ones who are deceived. But if Ukraine really was winning that hard and Russia was back on its heels, well, how do you explain the rest of the world? The rest of the world, like you look at Zelensky and he's going around country to country to country begging, right? And Modi in the Prime Minister of India, President Lula of Brazil, all these leaders are getting really sick of him and canceling meetings with him. Whereas the big countries around the world are just knocking at the door trying to join BRICS, which is led by Russia and China. You know, they have conferences. Everybody comes. All these countries are applying. Just last week, Indonesia was admitted as a full member. Indonesia is a huge country.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth. Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new ease-off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an ease-off drop-in lift?
Our ease-off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the ease-off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my ease-off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff LLC, 417-932-6419.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
This is a man's world, but it wouldn't be nothing, nothing without a woman or a girl.
BRICS, which is led by Russia and China. You know, they have conferences. Everybody comes. All these countries are applying. Just last week, Indonesia was admitted as a full member. Indonesia is a huge country. It's got the fourth largest population on Earth. It's got a growing economy. Last year, you had erstwhile U.S. allies like Egypt join right. BRICS, and so obviously the rest of the world is seeing Russia as a leader and a winner. And and you know, the United States, we're just kind of in this self deception that somehow we're still what we used to be. We're not what we used to be.
America says it's the country of democracy, that are the people's choice, right? They're thinking, okay, is it really? Because all the, you know, there's no question. A vast majority of the countries, the vast majority of the population of the world, including China, India, many African countries, South American countries, definitely, without any question, do not go along with Israel, and that's American key policy and America's complicity in that genocide. And actually, they don't go along; otherwise, they wouldn't be doing it. They don't go. They don't go along with the sanctions against Russia. They don't see Russia as an existential threat. They want to trade with Russia. They do business with Russia, and even the lies. For instance, I think that one of the people that's always on the news. He was talking about. He gave his last press conference, his Sunday morning talk show rounds. And he gets up there and he says, oh, yeah, we've accomplished all of our goals. Russia is so much weaker and America is so much stronger and all this.
Yeah, Jake Sullivan. I think that's who it was.
That's right. Just talk about just total lies. And so, but even the whole idea, so the vast majority of the world understands this. They got about two or three countries, and some of them are about the size of Somalia or something, you know, to go for them in support of Israel. And one of them was simply a crazy person in Argentina as a president that wants to become a Jew, who did that for one or two things. But anyway, but it's like the entirety of the rest of the world says Israel's committing war crimes. And as far as genocide's concerned, and Jeffrey Sachs talks about this, you know, genocide is genocide. And there's a clear definition of genocide. It doesn't, the genocide does not mean necessarily that you've actually wiped out all the people of a country or all the people of Europe. Even the so-called Holocaust, which is supposed to be the greatest and most horrible example of genocide, never was wiping out most of the Jews of Europe. Most of the Jews of Europe did not die in whatever Holocaust. In fact, they weren't under the control of the National Socialists. Many millions existed in Russia, and many other millions survived the war. So a Holocaust doesn't mean, you know, the wiping out of all the people. It means the way it reads, the Holocaust Convention, which America signed and many other countries, is, quote, and this is the way it reads.
Genocide Convention, not Holocaust Convention, genocide.
The Genocide Convention, yeah. It says the intentional targeting of people on the basis of race or ethnicity or nationality or whatever, and destroying them in whole or in part. With that kind of motivation, religion, nationality, and that all goes together in this thing. And again, I've been talking to this forever, and maybe some people are starting to get it. Bolzerian's got it anyway, but a lot of others are starting to get it now. But it, you know, Zionism and Judaism itself, the founding, you know, and from which Zionism grew. And people can say, well, there's a lot of secular Jews like Herzog, but Zionism itself is what they say is the basis of Israel. Even Ben-Gurion, who's a secular atheist, literally said his prediction was that we would have an international United Nations and in Israel, and the headquarters would be in Israel, and that United Nations would unite all nations, and they would build, the first thing they would do is build a shrine to the Jewish prophets. That sounds like world domination talked about in like the Old Testament. And we're learning a lot about this stuff. We just learned with a fantastic Jewish scholar, many others, there's lots of people understanding this now, is that even what we call the Torah, which we all of our lives have heard about the Jewish Torah, the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Old Testament. But Jewish scholars themselves now are saying, because it's easy to show this, because there's a lot of material of mail that was sent, letters that were sent in writing, where they used papyrus and other sorts of writing means, leather and everything. People sent messages. And we have a lot of these things from a few centuries before even Christ, before the Common Era, in the B.C. era. And they show that the Torah is never mentioned. And it's really amazing, but it's never mentioned. And in fact, Jews are saying that there wasn't the real practicing of Judaism as it's practiced since about the first century AD. So if it's never mentioned, and this was something that they created or they wrote about, or at least they controlled what they could say with the old oral tradition or the old things, they had the opportunity, Jewish scribes, who are Jewish supremacists. They were Maccabeans, by the way, who actually, and this is what Jeffrey Sachs even mentioned. He talked about the Maccabeans, who were radicals, who hated the Syrians and hated the Romans, and they massacred them. And that's what they celebrated Hanukkah. And then later they launched a attack against Rome, which caused the destruction of the temple and the expulsion of many, many Jews around Europe, which is probably a backfiring thing for the Romans. But anyway, but when you look at that, these Maccabeans, so when they were writing down these supposed scriptures or the word of God, they had Jewish scribblers that were there to make God to be a Jewish supremacist, a supporter of genocide. And yet a lot of this, even the genocides that they brag about and promote, may not even have occurred. Like there's a lot of evidence that Joshua and some of the stuff of Joshua and Jericho and so forth were made up. But the point is, they wanted to promote the idea that because they tell us that we're supposed to do what God wants. And if God wants Jews to commit genocides, this is the same thing that Netanyahu did and stupid and really stupid, you know, brainwashed Christian Zionists say, oh, well, you know, Netanyahu says about, you know, these Palestinians are Amalekites, which they aren't, but these Amalekites, and we know what to do with Amalekites because every Jew knows about that. You know, every Jew knows about Passover, saying the firstborn of the Egyptians, and we're going to run the Nile red, and we're going to have billions of locusts that are going to make, you know, untold numbers of Egyptians suffer, children and everybody else. We've got passages in there. We're going to kill the men, the women, and the children. In fact, we're going to rip the babies out of the wombs, out of the stomachs, out of the bellies. It literally says that. I saw some passages yesterday. I was looking up, right? And I'm thinking about all these Christian Zionists who are obviously very anti-abortion, but do they really think that God said, okay, we want you to rip the bellies open of the Jewish enemies? And by the way, the Jewish enemies, the Gentiles, are us. I mean, so all these, you know, and it was Christians and Gentiles who adapted the teachings of Jesus Christ, who spread Christianity, took the teachings of Jesus, and if anything, Christ was trying to get Jews to not be so damned murderous. And he was trying to probably save Jews from themselves as well as save the rest of humanity, because he taught fairness and kindness to everyone. That was a big difference than the supremacy that's promoted by the Old Testament. Now, I know that there's Christians with different views about these things, but if I have a different view, I would want to take, as a Christian, I'd want to take the words of Jesus and the sentiments of Jesus, and I know Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. He'd have been a peacemaker right now in Gaza. He wouldn't be a mass murderer of children. That when he said, let the children come unto me, he never ordered a single massacre. He said, let them come to me, and let me bless them. And he said, anybody that would harm a child would be the epitome of evil, and they should have a milestone or a millstone, like they used to do for donkeys, around their neck and put to the bottom of the sea. Because anybody who heard a child, he said, all children were the kingdom of God. And he said it wasn't just Jews, it's all humanity. And the New Testament makes that real clear. But if we talk about any of these things, it's like if there's a conflict for me in terms of what Jesus taught and what might be or what it might not be in these old things from 3,500 years ago that we don't have any copies of before 300 years ago, no copies of, for all those times when all those thousands of copies were to be made, and we have to admit it was by the same leadership of the Jewish religion that were the Pharisees that crucified Christ and opposed Christianity and opposed the Christians, and the New Testament very clearly says, is against the laws of, you know, the true laws of God and the true sentiments of Jesus Christ, which is of God. So I don't want to go, I'm sorry for that long spiel there, but it's all part of the same stuff. I mean, Judaism is why there's Zionism. Judaism is why there's genocide going on in Gaza. Judaism is why we had an Iraq war. Judaism is why we had this Jewish power structure support the rise of ISIS and Al-Qaeda, right? And why we've been so anti-Russian. Judaism is why we've got LGBTQism. Judaism is why we have massive pornography in the world. Judaism is why we had the rise of communism of 100 million people, because these Jews were taught that they were the enemy and all of mankind was their enemy, and they had to subdue them. And they had to defang them, so to speak. The best of Christians, the best of Gentiles should have, you know, their heads crushed. That's what the Talmud said. So, but they got Christians defending the Talmud, which celebrates the murder of the best of the Christians. And one last thing I'll mention before I get your comments. We've still got a few minutes, 10 minutes left, a little bit less than 10, but I'd like to get your comments on this. But the one last thing that I would like to mention, which is, I think, pretty, in fact, very, very important, is to think about some of the aspects of what Jesus Christ taught and what Christians think he taught. He taught love. He taught forgiveness. He said, I came not to destroy people, but to save them. And it's just really fascinating to look at how they've basically told Christians that you should celebrate the things that Jesus Christ himself condemned again and again and again. And where the New Testament says, and I'll just give you an exact quote from Christ, it's my last biblical quote, so I'm going to take off my pastor cap today after this line. But Jesus Christ said very clearly, he said, the kingdom of God is taken away from you and given to nation that produces the fruits of it. And he does all sorts of illustrations like the vineyard, where a man that owns a vineyard has tenants in the vineyard. And that's the idea that, well, God's kingdom, they let Jews be a tenant. But then they wouldn't give their due to God. They wouldn't follow the laws of God. They wouldn't follow the laws of the owner of the land, the vineyard. And then he sends his servants to try to collect the due, what's due from them. And they kill the servants. And then he says he sends his son because he thought they respect his son. And then they kill his son. And that is a metaphor that Christ used about what he knew was going to happen to him from the Jewish Pharisees and the Jewish leaders, which were determined to destroy Christ. Why? Because they saw Christ as a threat to the Jewish supremacism that Judaism represented, and eventually these messianic insanities, like you see evidenced in Israel, and what you see evidenced in terms of their effort to have hegemony, not just over the Middle East, but really over the whole world, and they control hegemony over much of the world right now through their power over America. Any thoughts about all that? Anything strike you powerfully there?
With the religious issues, you know, there's a massive reluctance to talk about them. And I don't necessarily have the best background to be the one to talk about them.
You know why I think there's reluctance? I think there's reluctance because I had reluctance too when I first started off in this, because everybody says, well, everybody's got their own religious beliefs, and I believe all that. But when you have a religious belief that is a Nazism, it doesn't even resemble Nazism. It's like Nazism times a billion, and every negative thing you could say about Nazism or whatever you could allege against Nazism by Hollywood. And when you get this religion putting this supremacist, murderous doctrine out to the world and then following up on it like what's going on in Gaza right now, that is something that why we have to get into the religious issue itself. When you have a religion that's really dominating these radical religion people in Israel are the ones that's creating these massive wars and also that are pushing this Jewish supremacy, which has caused the death of hundreds of millions of people. They caused the First and Second World War. They've caused the war since then. They've caused the rise of communism, a couple of hundred million people. They've caused all this insanity in the Middle East. They caused what happened in Ukraine. They caused what happens against the Gazan people. That's why I think that, you know, I confront the religious issue more, because there's no religion like Judaism is. There's no religion that's more racist, more hateful against all of humanity, more racist in the classical sense. But it's promoted by these Jews who control the media, who tell us that racism is the most evil thing. And it's all those white people. That's the racism we got to worry about. All those white people who are intentionally, by the way, destroying themselves with the immigration that they control in terms of Western societies. Go ahead. Give me a response to that.
Yeah. I mean, so we're in a difficult situation. Religion is very important to people. People who identify as Christians, the Christianity is very important to them. And like it or not, there is some kind of intertwining between Christianity and Judaism. The Bibles that everybody has, they're divided into two parts. At the end, you've got the New Testament, which should be what's most foundational to Christianity, because that is Jesus's spin on religion, if you could put it that way. But the bulk of the Bible that most people have in their house,
the biggest parts of the Bible are the Jewish scribblers.
Who don't like
Christ, by the way. Who never supported Christ and who opposed Christ and killed Christ.
And so what do you make of that? And you know, there were decisions that were made about what goes into the Bible. There was big decisions made, by Constantine and this assembly that he convened back in the 4th century?
Right.
And then there have been, I'm not sure if even the in the New Testament, the Book of Revelation, whether that was fully incorporated into the canon.
Almost wasn't a number of times, but it got in there. And it's the only book of the New Testament that really deals with the massacre of literally perhaps billions of people. And the idea that the Antichrist is going to come and it's going to rape and kill all of humanity. And, you know, and I believe that Jesus, it's exactly the opposite of the message that Jesus Christ spoke in the New Testament, where he really spoke about saving mankind. And everlasting life and peace and love and treatment and everything. So it just seems to me that the idea, if we accede and we say that, oh, God is going to permit the Antichrist to come and kill billions of innocent men, women, and children. And these are people like our kids. These are people as ourselves, like our parents. God's just going to okay this. You know, that doesn't fit with me, with the teachings of Christ. And if I have to get into a conflict between, say, what Christ taught or what a particular outlying book, like the like Revelation says, I would rather go with Christ. I'd rather go with the saying that we're going to treat everybody fairly. We're certainly not going to kill little kids who he said belong in the kingdom of God because they're naturally believers, because they're decent, innocent children. They shouldn't be killed. They should not be raped like these Jews are raping Palestinian children and others in Gaza. And by the way, there's lots of more new stuff on that coming out every day. I mean, you had the head of Jewish.
Mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, there's far too many of you that.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read one. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered from a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious, he almost died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives that were more affordable, he tried Extendivite. Since taking it, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Get more tank will save you money every month on gas. I'm Dave Von Kleist, and I noticed increased performance after my first tank of gas. My mileage increased by 2.5 miles per gallon, and I'm saving money on every fill-up. Get more tank is American-made, is used by trucking companies and heavy industry, and is now available to the public. Get more tank works in any gas or diesel engine, cleans your engine, improves performance, reduces emissions, and you'll feel it every time you step on the gas. If you're an owner-operator, farmer, heavy equipment operator, or use any kind of engine from chainsaws, leaf blowers, lawnmowers, ATVs, you name it. Contractors, electricians, plumbers, painters, lawn service companies, Get More Tank will save you money and extend the life of your equipment. Hey, if you've got an engine, then Get More Tank. Save your money, save your engine. Reduce your emissions and save the earth with GetMoreTank.com. A 5-pack of GetMoreTank.com is only $22.22 plus shipping. Use the promo code Republic Broadcasting and get 10% off. Get More Tank is EPA registered, doesn't void warranties, and results vary. GetMoreTank.com.
Hey there, this is Sheila with Hempaste by Mynutra. Why is Hempaste better than other CBD options on the market? It's important to point out that the common CBD oil does not contain CBDA or CBGA, and they're only found in fresh or raw hemp products, like Hempaste. Hempaste contains the entire plant, minus any stems. This means the product retains the complete genetic code of the plant, which also includes those two vital cannabinoids, CBGA and CBDA. Over and over, experts keep saying the more intact or less processed the hemp plant is, the more effective it is. Happy Hemp Paste.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org. And visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Call 855-656-8872. Mention RBN.
They shouldn't be killed. They should not be raped like these Jews are raping Palestinian children and others in Gaza. And by the way, there's lots of more new stuff on that coming out every day. I mean, you had the head of Jewish religious figure for the military. He sets the religious laws for Israel, which is a very, you know, it's a Jewish state. It's a Jewish religious state, and they allow the Jewish religious hierarchy to set the state. And what does the hierarchy say? That the only purpose of Gentiles on earth is to serve Jews. That's just a fact. And the head guy over the military that's giving them their moral instruction, and he calls it morale. He says it's good for Jewish morale that they take attractive Gentiles, by the way, which might be our daughters, our wives, our sisters, or even our brothers these days with these sick perverts. Israel's the you know, the pedophile king of all nations today. It's like, what do they call it? The Independent called it, you know, promised land for pedophiles, right? And Jewish pedophiles can go and run for safety in Israel. So it's like when you really look at all these things, you know, I decide that, you know, if I have something that seems to conflict, I'm going to go with the words of Jesus Christ wherever I can find them. And if people argue about certain passages, well, I'm not sure every passage is exactly right. But I know one thing. Reading the New Testament, I get the spirit of Jesus Christ very, very well. It's repeated again and again. It's what most of the disciples, Paul and all the people that made Christianity happen and succeed. And I get a message of love and forgiveness and peace and the abundance for humanity and positive things for humanity, not death and destruction and plagues and mass murder. That's my take on it. So religion does have a role. I'm not demanding everybody think like I do about Christianity, but the old Christian theory was the Catholic Church for years and years and years until the New Vatican and so forth. They all said that God had a covenant with Jews, but the Jews broke the covenant, and it says that in the New Testament. Are you going to follow Jesus Christ when he says, just as I led them by the hand out of the land of Egypt, they continue not in my covenant, and I consider them not, saith the Lord? You know, are talking about the wrath of God coming upon the Jews for keeping us from teaching to the Gentiles and how Jews have driven us out and are enemies of all mankind. If Jesus Christ tells me that they're enemies of all mankind, of course, we're talking about Jewish leadership. I'm not blaming every Jew, but I'm going to believe Jesus Christ, and I'm going to believe the New Testament. I'm not going to believe some Christian Zionist. any final thoughts, Doctor? We got a minute or so.
Well, I'm signing off from my show, and I want to say thank you for joining me, Dr. Duke, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio. And then on top of that, I'll say that support Dr. Duke's work. Go to davidduke.com or send a cash or money order to what is your address?
It's box 180, Mandeville, Louisiana, 70470. And this time of year is when we do our fundraising. You can also go to my Gab at Real David Duke and my Odyssey at Real David Duke. And I appreciate you all very, very much. And you know what, folks, on all these questions, use your mind that God gave you. Use your heart. Read that New Testament again and again. Read the words of Jesus Christ and see if you can find the Spirit. And if you feel like you should, you know, pray about it. Think about it. Ask for God's guidance if you're a religious person. If you're not, and you're intellectual, just read the New Testament, and you're going to find a message of love and peace, which is very, very different than what's preached by Orthodox Judaism. That's it, folks. Love you. I'll be back again with you tomorrow. Bye-bye now.
Have you ever planted a tree for your home garden, orchard, or farm? Well, you'll know how frustrating it is when deer don't stop nibbling at them and you lose years of growth. We have a very economic solution called Tree Savers. It's basically a greenhouse tube at a very economical price. Most of the tubes are $3 to $4, depending on the length that you want. Very easy installation. Check us out at furion.com. Serious growth, that's furion.com. Susanna's Secret Real Essential Oils of Nature would like to thank you and RBN listeners for your previous purchases. We're announcing that we have a new waterless diffuser in stock with a full 1-year warranty. You just insert the bottle to the top, screw it in, tip it upside down, set your timer, or it's also motion activated at furion.com. That's furion.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.